Working at the Veterans Hospital, it just kind of secured my interest in working with older adults. And so going forward, I just felt like, okay, this is my path, this is my trajectory. And at that time, I was going for my graduate degree in art therapy. And I always had this interest in nature, the arts, psychology, right? So these things kind of is what brought me to where I am now.
Welcome to Rejuvenating with Dr. Ron Kaiser. This is a podcast designed to help you lead your life enthusiastically today, tomorrow, and every other day. I am your host, Ron Kaiser, positive health psychologist and coach, also keynote and TEDx speaker, author of the triple award-winning book, Rejuvenating: The Art and Science of Growing Older with Enthusiasm, also chief immersion officer with Better Age. As listeners to the podcast know, my goal is always to bring you guests who not only lead their own lives with enthusiasm, but have different ways of helping us to become better versions of ourselves. And we usually succeed pretty well, and I have no doubt that today's guest is going to really enlighten us in ways that we typically don't hear on our podcast. It's always great to have a guest who I not only respect for her vision and performance in the field, but also consider a friend. And I think it helps the conversation go. And so it's with great pleasure I introduce Dr. Michelle Olson, who is, first of all, a lover of the outdoors and all kinds of mindful and mind-body experiences. She is a social gerontologist, a licensed board-certified creative arts therapist, and has several other certifications as a Montessori dementia care professional, a certified activity consultant with a specialization in memory care, and she is also a certified forest therapy guide. You might be noticing a theme about the outdoors here. Michelle teaches about mental health and social issues in aging, including ageism, at Montana State University. And during the pandemic, Dr. Olson founded a charitable organization called Evergreen Minds, which aims to reframe stigmas associated with dementia by connecting people in and outside of senior living facilities who are living with dementia and people of all ages in the Hudson Valley and New York City areas. Michelle works closely with Vassar College, who integrates students' course learnings with hands-on experience with people who are living with dementia. This is done through a wide variety of meaningful dementia-inclusive experiences with nature and expressive arts and so on. So, as I'm sure all of you can imagine after this introduction, really looking forward to learning from Michelle. So, Michelle, welcome to Rejuvenating with Dr. Ron Kaiser. It's such a pleasure having you with us today.
Thank you, Ron. It is such a pleasure to be here with you today.
Great. Well, you do some very important work, but you're not the typical guest that we get because of your specialty in nature and so on. As listeners know, I'm always interested in people's journeys to get to be who they are. And I'm wondering, since you're a little bit different than a lot of us in the helping field, can you tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got so focused on the importance of nature and human development, and particularly in dementia care?
So, working at the Veterans Hospital, it just kind of secured my interest in working with older adults. And so, going forward, I just felt like, okay, this is my path, this is my trajectory. And at that time, I was going for my graduate degree in art therapy, and I always had this interest in nature, the arts, psychology, right? So these things kind of is what brought me to where I am now. So I continued on to get a gerontology degree because I really wanted to understand the aging process and the theories behind aging. And so this is what led me to be what I call a gerontologist and a nature-based art therapist. Right? Before I even knew what ecotherapy was, I was innately helping people with nature, right? In and with nature. So that's the short version.
Okay, well, that's very, very interesting. And I'm wondering, is we know that being outside makes you feel good. At least those of us who tend to enjoy the outdoors, we know that having plants around makes you feel good and so on. Is there some real science behind this, in addition to, what we experience subjectively?
There absolutely is a lot of science behind the benefits of being with nature, in and with nature. And these are physiological benefits, emotional benefits, and cognitive benefits. So, I mean, we're going back to, even the 1980s when the Japanese government funded research in urban environments. Like, how can we help people who are suffering with, autoimmune disorders and cancer and stress, anxiety. So the government wanted to help decrease these illnesses. And so they led a sponsored a research on bringing people into the forest. Hence, that's how forest therapy, forest bathing became popular, right? So they learned that being with nature and breathing in these healthy chemicals, these phytoncides from the trees, that is what helped decrease cortisol and increase these natural killer cells, these NK white blood cells, to help ward off illnesses, including cancer. So that was really the start of it. And since then, I mean, there is a plethora of research on this, and the many, many health benefits, heart, cardiovascular health. As we said, that for me, and maybe for you, Dr. Kaiser, is the interest in mental health, like the connection between the brain and body, but also how being exposed to green spaces can really decrease psychological distress, such as depression and anxiety. And so, yeah.
Okay, that's really great to know that it's not just a subjective thing, but there's real science behind it. You mentioned a term that was new to me a couple of years ago, and probably still is new to some people. When you talk about forest bathing, what are we taking showers in the forest, or
Right. No bathing suits needed. And yeah, so that's a great question. Thank you. And people always ask that, are we bathing? So the Japanese term is shinrin yoku, which translates into taking in the atmosphere of the forest. And so, in other words, it's called forest bathing. So when we are out, we are tuning into our senses. We are coming out of our busy thinking brains and tuning into our bodies, the somatic experience of connecting with everything that's around us and noticing what's happening within us. And so that's really what forest therapy is. Forest therapy is what I'm certified in. I'm a certified nature and forest therapy guide, and it's based in forest bathing. So what we do as guides is we don't lead people to any outcome. We believe that the forest is the therapist and the guide, we open the doors. So when we bring people out into these immersions with the natural world, we offer them a series of invitations that they can choose to do in any way that they like or not do them at all. Again, it's really up to each person. And so everyone's experience is unique, and every time, even if it's the same place, every time we go, it's different, right? Because the land gives us what we need in that moment. And so it really is a lovely practice. It's not a hike. A lot of times people think that, you know, because we're very used to doing things at a fast pace, that we're trying to get to an end point. And that's not how forest therapy is. It's a very slow, gentle walk or roll, because not everybody walks. And sometimes it's just sitting still, which I do with the older adults that I serve. A lot of times we just sit still and we notice, right? We tune into our bodies, all of our senses, and we notice. And we come back and we share together. So it's a lovely practice I would highly recommend to anyone to give a try.
So is it something that you can just do, or is it something you should be guided as you do it?
Yeah. So I mean, anybody can benefit from being outdoors, right? Like you're going to have these health benefits of just spending time, even half hour, a few times a week outside will help you. But the benefit of having a guide is to help you slow down and really tune into your senses, because it's very, I'll say, uncomfortable sometimes, right? Like for me, I have a lot of anxiety. So it takes me time to come out of my busy brain, right? That frontal lobe here is always so busy and worrying about this and thinking about that and what I have to do. But a guide will help bring you to the present, right? Bring you into your body, settle in, and then lead you into some experiences. And like I said, it's, you know, for everybody, it's different. You know, it might be grief or healing or joy or memories. It's what it is. And sometimes it's just people enjoy being relaxed. And that's great too.
Great. Well, I'm wondering, do you, well, over the past 8.5 years, I've transformed into an urban dweller. So much so that I have a car. Try to avoid driving it whenever possible. I try to gear my shopping so that I can, I don't mind going frequently as long as it will fit into two bags so that I, don't have to make it too challenging going back. Don't really have comfortable access to forests. We do have quite a few parks here in Center City, Philadelphia, including one across the street. I mean, do you need to have kind of this forest environment, or any park that I would go to, there's going to be buildings across the street and stuff like that. Is it, what do you do? I mean, I'm sure there are great benefits from forest bathing, but what if you don't have a forest readily accessible?
First of all, that is a great question, and I'm glad you asked that. So this is true. I mean, the more you're immersed in with plants and trees, the more increase of the health benefits. But there is research to show, like, even having trees on the road, being in close proximity, which is, I think it's like 328 feet, in proximity to trees, has been shown in research to decrease depression. And for example, because, you know, I'm so interested in that correlation. But and that's, you know, when other factors were controlled for, such as like employment and age and gender and body weight, for example. So just being near trees is helpful. And also, this is, and I know I can't remember the year, but there's a study of just looking at nature can be helpful in our healing process and needing less pain medications, because this was work that was done in a hospital setting. So patients were discharged faster just by having a view, right, of the natural world versus a brick wall. For instance, I have a big plant next to me, and even, you know, yes, it is helping to purify the air, but even looking at this plant and pausing and noticing, you know, the changes in the leaves, the fractals, as we call them, that can also help center me and calm me. So, the other thing that you might find interesting is this last year, we started working in a community in New York City in a senior living community. So we were doing forest bathing on the 17th floor, Ron. And you know, is it in the middle of the forest? No, but there's plants all along the deck. You know, we still have the breeze. We still have the sunshine, the warmth of the sunshine. We can see clouds, birds, a little bit of water. You know, so there's always an opportunity, no matter where you are, to slow down and really focus in on your senses.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you're mentioning this because I learned that now with hospital design, they're actually building in spaces for plants and even whenever possible to arrange it so that windows look out at some green spaces if they're able to. And certainly they're incorporating some of the things that you're talking about.
Yes, that is actually, and even in senior living, we're seeing this. This is called biophilic design, I think is what you're talking about. And biophilia is a study of, you know, recognizing our evolution with nature, with the natural world. So it feels good for us innately to be around natural elements like wood, you know, water, green. So we see this in design, like you said, in hospital designs. In fact, it happened up here at a hospital at Vassar, where they totally renovated the hospital to have a view of the Hudson River, right, instead of the city. So bringing those elements of the outdoors in through windows, you know, plants, stone, wood, these natural elements have been shown to help people, right, and healing and emotional well-being. So it's a big thing. I love it. I'm a big proponent of biophilic design.
Great. Well, let's hear a little bit about your work with dementia patients because that sounds like it's very promising. I know people who have relatives, friends, family members with dementia are often just focused on kind of maintenance, avoiding decline kinds of things. And it sounds like there's some real positive things that can be done in with dementia patients.
Well, certainly for people living with dementia and for ourselves, right? So I founded Evergreen Minds because I noticed this disconnection between people who are living with dementia and the community, right? The larger community and with the outdoors. And I feel it is an infringement on human rights. It is our right to have access to the outside world. But when people go into senior living, very often they're not designed in a way, or staff aren't prepared to help get people outdoors. And this feels to me, you know, really sad, honestly. And we wonder why pain is increased, and I'm using air quotes here because I don't like the term, but behaviors, right, or depression or anxiety. But those are normal responses, I think, if any one of us was locked in a space 24/7 every day of the year, right? So I really am working to bring people of all ages together. So I have students, you know, Vassar students, up to volunteers that are 87. Some have dementia, some don't. And we work together and we go into senior living communities. They help us start seeds for our garden, right? We have a community garden where people grow together, and it's also an art gallery, so their artwork hangs. So the whole purpose is to get people together to continue to contribute to society, right? Because I don't believe that people want to just cut off from the rest of the world, right? Like, I do believe people with dementia want to continue to give back to the community and at least have the choice if they want to. So this is an opportunity.
Well, that's great, and I think I think there's a lot of work to be done in that area, not just in people living with dementia, but I know in some say more independent or assisted living kinds of facilities, sometimes when people are left to their own devices, they will stay inside, not recognizing that they're working against themselves. And I think just the fact that you're introducing this consciousness about, you know, how much better off they would be, you know, spending time in nature or having access to plants and things of that nature, I think is just, you know, just tremendous.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I feel like we're conditioning people and ourselves to stay inside. So when we keep people in all the time, year round, when they are exposed to the outdoors, it doesn't feel comfortable, right? So we have to, you know, first of all, we have to get to know the people, if that's even an interest for them to get out. But from my experience, in introducing people, you know, to getting back outside, it is overwhelmingly positive. Like, people really appreciate this opportunity to get out. In fact, on Friday, this past Friday, I was at a nursing home, and this woman, she painted an image of a grassy field with the sunshine and the clouds. And she said, "I would love to go roll around in the grass." And I said, "Well, let's do it." I said, "Well, it's cold now, but in a couple months when the grass is out, let's do it." She said, "Okay, we're going to do it." So we have a date to go roll in the grass. And you know what? I'm hoping that no one in that nursing home stops us, because that's what she wants to do, and we need to honor it.
Oh, wonderful. It's great to hear. There's a couple of questions that came to me as you were speaking that are kind of unrelated. But one, I know I'd asked about dementia patients, and you responded with people living with dementia. What is the appropriate term, so that, you know, because I think there was you know, a conscious effort on your part to convey a certain terminology.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, we want to move away from that medicalization and that stigma associated with dementia. So when we boil people down to a diagnosis, right, or being victims or being patients, it may not convey what that person would like. So I always say person first language. So I would say, this is a person who is living with dementia, you know, or, you know, Ron is living with dementia, or, you know, but I wouldn't, if it's even necessary. So that's the reason for that, is just to reframe the narrative around dementia.
Okay. The other thing that I think is important is, how do we, I don't know if train people, how do we instill the attitude for the many of us, of all ages, who are not living with dementia, that, hey, I mean, I'm a big believer in prevention. And it sounds to me that if we are concerned about what kind of food we're putting in our body, how much we exercise, things of that nature, that this probably is something we should be keeping in mind if we care about the way we're going to live our lives and the way that we're going to age. I'm wondering, is there either a program or some general principles, or just even a few thoughts to keep in mind that you know, should bring this to the forefront of our thinking?
Well, I believe all of us at every age, even younger adults, should be thinking about their future selves. Because what we do now, right, like you said, what we're eating, if we're moving or if we're sedentary, if we're living with disorder, you know, like a mood disorder, like depression, those are things that can impact how we age and, you know, development of dementia. So yes, like I believe it's 40% of cases of dementia can be avoided through these other modifiable risk factors. So if we're thinking about, you know, I'm going to be 55 this year. So if I'm thinking, you know, okay, right now it doesn't really matter. I don't smoke. I don't, you know, but I know, like, I need to move more, right? Because I want to have strong balance and core strength and all of these things. So working on what we eat, being social, that's a big thing, right? Like being interactive with other people, physically active. These are things that matter now, but also protect our brains and bodies for the future.
Yeah, there seems to be a pretty consistent message that anybody who is interested in health seems to deal with kind of what I call the non-negotiable four, that involves healthy eating and kind of owning your body through exercise and sleep and meditation and social involvement and keeping the brain active. And maybe we ought to add a fifth of spending time in nature.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned sleep. That's a biggie. That is a definitely a big one too. Not always easy,
Yeah,
but
and for some of us who grew up, feeling that hey, the most we could function with the least amount of sleep was a really good thing.
right.
It's once you change, you recognize there's a difference between thinking that you're functioning at your maximum and being able to function without yawning, without getting tired in the middle of the day, and so on, because you've had adequate sleep. I do want a bit to give a bit of a commercial. Michelle, my story. You know that one of the things that I'm really pleased about is when we moved to Center City that we moved across the street from a park just because we liked it. But in before my wife passed away, in her last few months, she drew a lot of strength from it, whether it was walking there, sitting there, sitting on our balcony and looking at it. I'm convinced that it contributed to the fact that she didn't have a slow, gradual decline before she died, but basically was herself throughout the time. And I think when she was up to it, being able to kind of regenerate from being able to look out and or spend time in the park was, I think, really, really helpful for her health. So I'm certainly a big advocate for what you do. I'd like to let people know about what you're doing that can involve them. How do they learn about what you're doing? How can they be in touch with you? Are you on social media? Do you have a website? Do you have programs that people can enroll in? So let me, I don't know that I can make a more general introduction, but I'd like you to tell us, about how people can be in touch and learn from you.
Yes. Well, thank you. And thank you, Ron, for sharing that story about Libby. And I have no doubt that her connection with the park was helpful to her and hopefully for you as well. So Evergreen Minds, yes, we welcome. Actually, right now we are seeking corporate sponsors because we are moving to a larger garden plot, and we have a lot of construction to do, including accessible gates and pathways, raised beds. The corporate sponsorship is helpful to make this happen. And we, of course, advertise the sponsors at the garden and on social and on the website. The website is evergreenminds, MINDS .org. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And certainly people can reach out to me on LinkedIn. I would love to connect with people and share together how we can make a difference in the lives of people living with dementia and for everyone. So thank you so much.
Sure. Well, the population isn't getting younger, in terms of percentages, and I think that if we treat the aging process as an afterthought, then the end result is a declining aging population. But if we do everything that we can to maximize their health, then we have the science to enable people to live. Many people to live much longer than have been the case in the past, and it really makes a difference if you can live in a healthy manner, than if you have to deal with decline. And so, This may be something that people don't recognize how great a role nature can play. And I know you are leading that charge, and we hope that more and more people will be both in touch with you and will be using your ideas both to help them and help people with whom they work. Been very, very enlightening to me. Just wondering, is there anything I should have asked you but didn't, or anything else that we should know about you, your program, nature, or anything else?
Well, you just reminded me of something that you said in the very beginning, which is the aging process is natural. It's a human thing, right? And so for us to embrace the fact that we are aging and helping to eliminate ageism will help us to live longer, will help us to live healthier. So if we're, no matter what age we're at, if we start to reframe our own perspectives about aging, and flip the script to a more positive, if we have negative perceptions, that will only benefit us. So, to anybody who's listening now, if you, kind of make fun of being older, or if you have a negative perception about being older or about old people, I encourage people to really explore that and work to fix that, starting within. So.
Great. And I guess the more that people see older adults out in the park and in the forests and enjoying nature and stuff like that,
Right.
I think that'll be a major contributor to combating ageism.
Absolutely.
Obviously, for personal reasons, I would like to see, disappear as quickly as possible. Anyway, again, it's been absolutely terrific, Michelle. I look forward to, talking with you again, working with you. Congratulate you on the wonderful work that you're doing. And it's work that's applicable to all of us, whether we're dealing with dementia, whether we're not dealing with dementia, whether we're older, whether we're younger. And it's something that you don't need a lot of equipment for. You don't need a lot of expense for to be able to spend time in nature. So it's been real practical as well as enlightening, educational, and so on. And look forward to talking with you again. So thanks again for sharing all your wisdom. And we'll have all your information in the show notes. So I'm sure you can anticipate people being in touch with you.
Thank
And
you so much. Thank you. And I'm aging with enthusiasm, thanks to you. So thank you.
thank you. And so that brings to a close another episode of Rejuvenating with Dr. Ron Kaiser. Really enjoyed talking with Michelle Olson. Really learned a lot from her and really feel motivated to get outside now. In the meantime, I hope that you all have enjoyed listening to it and you'll download it, tell your friends about it, rate and review the podcast. But be sure to also be back next week when we'll have another very interesting guest who, from a different perspective, will help us to become better versions of ourselves. So until then, this is Dr. Ron Kaiser signing off, telling you to stay positive and stay safe. And we'll see you next time.